Welcome to Diabetes Unplugged. Hey, I'm in a really good mood today. Welcome back to Diabetes Unplugged, where we shine light on life beyond the diagnosis and dare to redefine the way we approach diabetes wellness. I'm really excited. I have the song, the Welcome Back song. I think it's by Maze. It's like, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. I don't know. I just feel really excited to be back. And of course, you guys don't feel like I took any sort of break at all. But for me, I actually have not recorded a new episode of Diabetes Unplugged in a little over a month. So I feel like this is like the welcome back episode for me. Because you guys are hearing literally batch created content. I literally started recording content for Diabetes Unplugged in September of 2023. I think from September to December, I kind of batch created all of Diabetes Unplugged content for the first quarter of the year. And so come January, I was like, I'm going to give myself a break because I've been working so hard on Diabetes Unplugged for the last quarter of 2023. So I took all of January off and the first almost 2 weeks of February off. So now I'm like getting back in the grind and we are officially recording Diabetes Unplugged episodes for quarter two of 2024. So this is a really big deal for me. And I was like, if I'm gonna, you know, come back with it, I need to come back with sort of like a heavy hitter kind of. Now I'm going to give you kind of like a disclaimer. I feel like some people are not going to like me after this episode. But it kind of is what it is, because you guys know that I give it to you straight, no chaser. That just is what it is. That's just how I roll. But I will honestly say that I think that's why a lot of people rock with me and vibe with me. Like if you're an OG from following me on Instagram, you guys know, like I'm not afraid to kind of have those conversations that need to be had, you know? So in today's episode, we are actually going to be talking about, well, I'm going to be telling you guys how to lose weight without Ozempic. Now, listen, unless you've been living under a rock or you just for some reason don't know, just kind of depending on, you know, what you got going on. If you don't know, Ozempic is a newly popular pharmaceutical drug. And by newly popular, I mean like within the last probably like year. I think I really started seeing Ozempic all over the internet as far as like social media is concerned, probably last year. Maybe March, April-ish, maybe even a little bit before then of 2023. But basically, it's a really popular pharmaceutical drug that was designed to lower blood glucose levels for individuals with type 2 diabetes. Now, why is it so popular? And I say, why is it so popular? Because even people without diabetes are using this drug. And it's so popular to where people with type 2 diabetes are not even able to get it because you have non-diabetics that are taking advantage of it and using it for their own personal gain. So Ozempic is pretty much being looked at as the magic pill, even though it's not a pill, it's an injection, but it's being looked at as, or even marketed as sort of the magic serum. That's what we'll call it. The magic serum for losing weight. It is being reported that the average person taking Ozempic is losing 15% of their body weight in a very short amount of time. In fact, you can start seeing the benefits of weight loss using Ozempic as early as 2 weeks. And so what is making Ozempic even more appealing is that it's not even required for you to change anything else about your lifestyle in order to lose this weight, which means that it's an effortless solution to weight loss. And since most people, not all, but the vast majority of people living with type 2 diabetes are overweight, this sounds like music to your ears. So you're telling me that all I gotta do is take a shot once a week and that's it, and I can lose 15% of my body weight and I don't have to change how I'm eating or exercise or any of that? Sign me up, right? Which is pretty much the mindset that's taking place right now. It's literally the red pill or the blue pill. It's the red pill is, you know, you work out, you eat right, and, you know, lower your carb intake and all the other stuff that, you know, typical Western medicine suggestions are telling people with type 2 diabetes, and optimize this and da 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 da. Like, do basically do the work, right? That's the red pill, and you can get the weight loss results and all that kind of stuff. Or you could take the blue pill, which is you take this magic serum and you're going to lose 15% of your body weight in a short amount of time without having to change anything. Which one are you going to do if you have a weight loss goal? You're going to take the blue pill. So that is pretty much what is happening with this release of Ozempic. It is, you can literally take this shot once a week. And how it usually works is they'll start you on a lower dosage of, you know, 0.25. You'll take that for a week, then you up it to 0.5, then you up it to whatever, you know. So you gradually increase the amount over time until you get to, I believe the max dosage is 2.5, I believe. And so that's usually how it goes. So you're going to start on the lower dose. You're going to increase it by, you know, each week to a higher dose. And then you're going to start seeing those effects of the weight loss. But what is not being told is that, number one, Ozempic only works as long as you use it. It's very similar to people that have to supplement with, you know, with insulin. You know, insulin only works if you use it, basically. But once you stop using it, and there have been studies on this, and I am a very big proponent of you researching and educating and all that kind of stuff. So my disclaimer here is anything that you guys hear in this episode of Diabetes Unplugged, go do your own research so that you know what you're talking about and you can get a better understanding and all that kind of stuff. Don't just take my word for it. I've already done the research. I've done the studies, and that's why I'm relaying it to you. But I want you to do your due diligence, especially if you're someone that is considering being on Ozempic, or if you already are on Ozempic. You need to know what is happening. I'm going to give you as much as I know, but then you also have, you owe it to yourself, and you have a responsibility to do your own research. Okay. So like I said, number one, Ozempic only works as long as you use it. And there, again, have been studies on this. So once you stop using it, are likely going to gain all that weight back. It's like the keto diet, which we, listen, we'll have to do a whole nother episode on the keto in and of itself, okay? But it's very similar to that. Once you stop taking it, all that 15% of weight and all that kind of stuff is likely going to come back. Number two, and this is a huge deal. This is what we have to understand. Just because something helps you lose weight doesn't mean that it's safe, especially if it comes to big pharma. That's just the reality of it. And I think we live in such a way where we only kind of care about what we want. If, as long as it is giving us the thing that we want, we kind of can neglect everything else. And number three, like I said, we're so used to instant gratification and thinking about what we can get right now that we ignore the long-term effects of it. It's like all the other diabetes commercials that we see on TV where they're like, take this drug and lower your A1C, but don't worry, the common side effects are you might lose your eyesight and you may have to cut out your left lung, but at least your blood sugar will be normal. Like, what? What do you mean? Like, that doesn't make sense. So unfortunately, Ozempic also, just like any other diabetes or pharmaceutical medication, it comes with its own side effects. So nausea, constipation, diarrhea, other gastrointestinal issues. It can lead to gastroparesis. If you don't already have it, it can exacerbate that and make that worse, which is stomach paralysis. Basically, your stomach struggles with emptying its contents or the food that you ate. That's basically gastroparesis. You can become really gassy or constipated, or you know how sometimes you can, because I know I've experienced this. You know how sometimes when you burp and it smells like or tastes like something died inside of you? Yeah, that's rotten food. That's rotten food, which means that your digestive system is backed up. And I have a really good episode actually inside of Dominating Diabetes Academy that you can listen to on the role and the importance of digestion for blood sugar regulation. If you just look right down into the show notes, you'll get access to that. But I have that episode. But with all these, you know, sort of side effects, because we didn't even mention things like thyroid tumors and heartburn and gallstones and headaches and pancreatitis, which means, you know, your pancreas becomes inflamed, or kidney disease, rapid heartbeat, changes in your vision and in your face and loss of appetite. And the list can go on and on and on and on and on. These are the things that are not being told about Ozempic, which can be very frustrating because all we heard was it's going to lower my blood sugar and it's going to allow me to lose weight. And that's what we go on. So you cannot be so focused on what's happening in the short term that you're neglecting what could potentially happen long term. So if you're going to use Ozempic, you need to be educated about it because the reality is this is your life that we're talking about. And sure, you can definitely tell yourself that you're only going to use it a short amount of time in order to kickstart weight loss and then you're going to stop it, right? But let's keep it real. I am going to keep it all the way real with you. And this is why I said this episode might hurt a lot of people's feelings. And first and foremost, I really try not to be the person that comes across as super anti-Western medicine. But let's just be real. I am very super anti-Western medicine, especially when 98% of chronic illnesses are chronic and due to lifestyle factors. That is what I am against. I am against saying this is what ailments you're coming into the hospital with and all they have to offer, the Western medicine system. I'm not saying that all doctors do this, but I am saying that the system of Western medicine is to match an ailment with a pill. That is what I do not agree with, especially when you have chronic illnesses that are deeply rooted in lifestyle choices that if you would change your lifestyle, that would get rid of all your ailments. So that's my little like rant there. A lot of people start Ozempic with the notion or with the idea that they're going to use it just to kickstart weight loss. But if we are being honest, the way that we function as human beings, and also when you consider the very much so microwave society that we live in, we become addicted to results, period. Any day of the week, we become addicted to results. And if Ozempic is going to give you the results that you want because it makes you feel better about yourself, it makes you feel more confident, your clothes start to fit better. These are all things that you want. When you sit down and you write a list of it, what do you or why do you want to reverse diabetes? A lot of that is going to be a part of that list. I want to feel more confident. I want my clothes to feel better. I want to feel better about myself. And Ozempic is going to offer that to you. So if Ozempic is doing that for you and you're not having to really put any work in, you're not having to fight for it, you're not going to stop. Why would you? It's giving you what you want. And again, I'm not saying this to shame anybody for making the decision to take Ozempic. But what I will say is that this is why it is important for us to do the inner work. Because you can lose all the weight you want to and still have low self-esteem and low self-worth. No drug is going to address the mindset that you have about yourself. That's the inner work. But I would rather you be educated about this and then still choose to do it than for you to be in the dark. And the reality of it is Ozempic, just like a lot of other diabetes medications, are a Band-Aid. And just as Band-Aids often do, it will stop working. And it will stop working because your body will stop working. And perhaps what's the scariest thing is that there currently isn't enough research on how this impacts your cardiovascular health. And since diabetes already puts you at a greater risk of heart disease, knowing that data is extremely important. Extremely important. We need to understand how this is going to impact your health in the long run. And then you also have to be mindful of some of the things that you're currently complaining about too, like having to be on diabetes medications for the rest of your life. But again, I digress. I don't even know if that fits there, but I've always wanted to say that. Today's episode, like I said, is about simply answering the question, how do I get the same results that Ozempic provides without actually needing Ozempic? And in order to answer that question, we have to understand how Ozempic works first and foremost, because then once we understand how it works, we can then figure out how to mimic that same reaction in a way that doesn't require shots every week and that will actually allow us to keep our results and the quality of our health long term, because that is what it is about. Now, first, how Ozempic works. This is not going to be a long and drawn out explanation. Like I said, I highly recommend that you look in the show notes and look into joining Dominating Diabetes Academy, because I break this down to a T through a fine tooth comb without using a bunch of medical jargon and all that kind of stuff to help you understand the role of digestion, because this is why and how Ozempic works. In a nutshell, Ozempic works by doing three main things. Number one, it slows down the speed of digestion. Number two, it stretches your small intestine. And number three, it sends signals to your brain telling it that you are full. What does all of this mean? So let's talk about digestion. Digestion is known as a north to south process. Digestion begins in your brain and it ends when you have a bowel movement. So when you inject yourself with Ozempic, like I said, number one, it's going to slow down the speed of digestion. So when you eat something, you swallow it, it goes into your stomach starts to pulsate and different chemicals and digestive enzymes are released into your stomach in order to break down the contents of your food, the macronutrients. So your protein, your healthy fats, your carbs, when it goes into your stomach is going to start pulsing in order to digest it. To digest something means to break it down. So when an Ozempic gets involved in that process, like I said, it slows the speed of digestion. So what is happening is it's sending signals to your stomach to not break down your food as fast. When you have something artificial that is being released into your system that tells your stomach, hey, let's not break down this food. Let's not do that. What ends up happening is your food stays in your stomach for longer than it should. Remember, I was telling you about paralysis of the stomach, gastroparesis, right? That's not a good thing. Your food should not remain in your stomach for an extended period of time. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I also teach, you know, food pairing and different things like that, which are going to help keep you satiated longer. But your food should not be remaining in your stomach for an extended period of time, because you know what happens? It starts to ferment. It starts to rot in your stomach. So you wonder why you're burping and gassing and constipated and, you know, your farts are smelling like death and all kinds of stuff, because you have rotten food in your system. It is rotting in there. Your food is not meant to stay in your system that long to where it is rotting. And then when you have rotten food, you kill all the nutrients. And so in normal digestion, like I'm saying, I'm going to be switching between digestion with Ozempic and normal digestion. Normal digestion, when your food is being broken down in your stomach, it has to reach a certain pH level before it can go into your small intestine, which I told you Ozempic works number two was it stretches your small intestine, right? So once your stomach reaches that pH, it's a very acidic pH level that it has to reach, which means it becomes, instead of food, it becomes more of like a sludge. That specific pH level is going to open the flap that separates your stomach from your small intestine. It's called your pyloric sphincter. Don't worry, there's not going to be a test on this. I just want to educate you. It's going to open that up to allow that food contents to go into your small intestine. And that is where all your nutrient absorption takes place. With Ozempic, like I told you, it's slowing down the speed of digestion in your stomach, which means that your stomach contents or your food contents in your stomach is not being broken down. What it's also doing is it is artificially stretching your small intestine. What happens when you stretch your small intestine is that sends, number three, signals to your brain telling it that you are full. So if this is happening with Ozempic artificially, that is how the weight loss is happening, because the food from your stomach is not really going into your small intestine, or not a lot of it. It's fake. It's like a false dopamine release. It's fake. Ozempic is causing this stretch of your small intestine artificially, and that is going to send signals to your brain saying, hey, our small intestine is full. It's not really full, but it's full. That's what it tells our brain. And so the result is you're consuming less calories. So you're naturally going to be in a calorie deficit, right? And that's naturally going to lead to weight loss without the feeling of starvation, because we got to remember that I think it's 80% of our serotonin levels, which is the happy hormone, that's released in our gut. Your small intestine is part of your gut. So if serotonin, which is the happy hormone, is being released, that's going to say, oh, well, dang, I'm full. And I don't even feel like I'm starving. I'm good. But you are starving. Because what did I just say in the beginning? Your food is rotting in your system. You're losing weight. But you know why you're losing weight? Because you're malnourished. You're malnourished. You're in an extreme calorie deficit. So that's why a lot of people, especially a lot of the clients that I work with, you know, they'll eat, you know, two bites of a sandwich and be like, I'm done. Because they're on Ozempic. And Ozempic is tricking their brain into thinking that they are full, but you're barely eating anything. How does that make sense? And that's where my frustration comes from. We have to use our brain. You got to use your brain and you have to start asking yourself, why does this make sense? How does this make sense? I'm barely eating and I'm losing weight. How does this make sense? Is this healthy? So then it's natural to say, well, Medina, like, that's the point. You know what I mean? Like, that sounds like a good thing. Like, my brain is being tricked into thinking that I am full. I don't have to, you know, worry about feeling starved or any of those kinds of things. Like, this is a great thing. But again, you're thinking about right now. You're thinking about right now. You cannot starve yourself indefinitely. You're telling me that you want to put your body in a state of starvation for the rest of your life just so that you can be skinny? That's what you're telling me? You're telling me that you want to deal with the frustration that comes with going out to eat and enjoying life with your family, and you can't even eat as much as what your family members are eating, so you feel like you can't really enjoy yourself? But because you're skinny, that makes it okay. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Well, you know, I'm fitting into my favorite pair of jeans, but you're missing out. You're missing out on life because you want to be skinny. That doesn't make sense to me. Doesn't make sense to you. Now, according to the clientele that I have, a lot of people are very frustrated with that. A lot of times what I will hear people specifically in the diabetes community say is, I just want to feel normal. I want to feel normal and I want to be able to eat what I want to eat. That's one of the biggest pain points of people living with pre and type 2 diabetes is I want to feel normal. Normal does not feel like only being able to eat two bites of food and being okay with that. That's not normal. Abnormal is not pooping every single day. That's very abnormal. Having heartburn every day, that's not normal. You should not have to live with those things. Having, you know, your pancreas be inflamed, that is not normal. But these are the long-term effects of being on Ozempic. And like I said, once you start some of these medications, it's very hard to get off because we're addicted to the results. And we tell ourselves, well, as long as my blood sugar numbers are being good, which is why I also tell people, especially my DDA fam, don't hyper-focus on the numbers. Don't hyper-focus on the numbers because it's like the number on the scale. When you hear people say all the time, don't hyper-focus on the number on the scale because that is just a number. It doesn't tell you anything according to what you're eating, if you're on your cycle, how hydrated you are, if you're sleep deprived. It doesn't tell you any of that. It is just a number. And we attach our self-worth so much to a number. Whether it is your blood sugar number or it's your weight number or it's your body mass index, that we stop thinking. We stop thinking. We don't know how to be like, but that doesn't really make sense. We don't know how to ask the right questions. I'm going on a tangent. Let me move on. But you know what I'm saying? So now we understand how Ozempic works. We know that it slows down the speed of digestion. We know that it stretches your small intestine. We know that it sends signals to your brain telling you that you are full. And the result of that is you're naturally going to consume less calories. You're going to be in a calorie deficit. And then you're going to lose weight without the feeling of starvation because serotonin is that happy hormone, which is just like, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm good. So back to the question at hand. How do we lose weight without Ozempic? And like I told you in the beginning, I'm not telling you anything that is getting ready to be a weight loss quick scheme. So if that is what you are looking for, this is the wrong episode for you. And you're going to be really disappointed. I am telling you things that are going to, number one, the number one objective with this, because what Ozempic cannot do is help improve insulin sensitivity. That's what it cannot do. And if your goal is to reverse diabetes long term, the only way for you to be able to do that is to reverse insulin resistance. So I have 6 tips for you that I'm going to be sharing. about how to lose weight with Ozempic. And the point of all six of these tips is to help you address the root cause of diabetes in the first place, which is insulin resistance. So number one, you need to optimize your sleep quality and your sleep duration. That means how well you're sleeping and how long you're sleeping. So adequate sleep is going to be crucial for weight management because it helps to regulate your hormones that control hunger and satiety. When you have poor sleep quality or insufficient sleep durations, those two things have been associated with weight gain and also the increased risk of obesity. You know why? Because what did we just say? Sleep helps to regulate weight management because it helps to regulate your hormones. A lot of times what we are doing is we have inconsistent sleep patterns, meaning we are staying up till the butt crack of dawn. And what happens when you stay up till the butt crack of dawn? Number one, melatonin, which is the sleep hormone, does not get released. You know why? Because cortisol, which is the stress hormone, that stays elevated. We just talked about this in the Mastering the 80-20 Rule episode. So if you haven't listened to that, I highly recommend that you do. But what happens is when you are staying up late, usually anytime past 10:30 p.m., you are causing your cortisol levels, that stress hormone, to remain active. And what cortisol does is it keeps you alert, right? So that's why it's really important to decrease your exposure to artificial blue light. So your cell phone and TVs and computers and laptops and things like that, because that tells your brain, that sends signal to your brain that it's still daylight out. So cortisol, because it keeps you alert, it has to keep firing. But what also happens is two things. Cortisol communicates with your liver and says, hey, for some reason, they're awake. So I need you to make sure they have energy, which is why a lot of times we struggle with falling asleep because our cortisol levels are so high. It's keeping us awake. You know what I'm saying? So cortisol is going to communicate with your liver and says, hey, they're awake. We don't really know why. This is probably an emergency situation. I need you to dump all your stored glucose into their bloodstream. Go ahead and dump it because they need to stay awake. Something's happening. So we're waking up with elevated blood sugar levels. But what's also happening is that puts our body in a state of fight or flight. What also happens is ghrelin, the hunger hormone, starts to be released. So when you are staying up late watching your TV shows and all that kind of stuff, you are more than likely snacking on something or ordering Uber Eats or DoorDash or whatever. So you're taking in excess calories. If you were to go to sleep at a decent time, you had that cutoff of I've eaten already. Now my body can take what I'm eating and convert it into energy and help me repair my body during my sleep window. But if you don't go to sleep and you're continuing to put calories in, that's why you're gaining weight, because you're staying up late and that's going to cause you to eat. You know why? Not because you're hungry, but because you're bored and it's something to do. Now, listen, we have all been a victim, myself included, of eating out of boredom. It's just what you do. How many times do we eat popcorn when we're watching a movie, or we want gummy candy when we're watching a movie, or with if your name is Nia, you like cheesecake when you are watching movies. You know what I'm saying? So again, I'm not judging you. I'm judging myself too, because again, we all fall victim to this. But when you start to understand, well, hey, why is sleep important for weight loss? Because again, it's going to help you control your cortisol levels. Your body's not going to be constantly functioning. Your body's also going to be able to actually rest and repair, and you're not going to be taking in excess calories. That is why sleep is important. So number one, optimize your sleep quality and your sleep duration. Number two, which I feel like nobody wants to hear, is to eat more fiber. I tell my students all the time, if you don't do anything else, if you don't remember anything else, remember that fiber is king. If you want to reverse diabetes, eat fiber. If you want to lower your A1C, eat fiber. Fiber is king. So when you are building your meals, focus on fiber first. Where's my fiber? Instead of saying, where's my protein? Where's my fiber? Because fiber-rich foods, meaning fruit and vegetables, whole grains, meaning your oatmeal and your brown rice and things like that, your legumes, your nuts, all of those help to promote feelings of fullness, and they're going to help to reduce your overall calorie intake. When you're eating things like leafy greens and mushrooms and onions and bell peppers and Brussels sprouts and asparagus and all the, there's so many different varieties of fruits and vegetables out there. They are naturally low in calories. An entire bag of spinach is only like 20 calories or something crazy. So this is why eating more fiber is going to be really important, because it allows you to eat as much as you want to eat without taking in those excess calories because you have the fiber. And like we said, Ozempic works by slowing down digestion, right? Guess what also does that? Fiber. Fiber slows down digestion. But you know the difference between Ozempic slowing down digestion and fiber slowing down digestion? Fiber also is going to come with essential nutrients. So you're not having that artificial, substance in your system telling your stomach to stop working. Fiber is going to go in and say, nope, we need you to break this down. But because fiber goes relatively undigested, meaning your body can't break down fiber. It's not like protein or, fat or simple carbs. It doesn't get broken down like that. Fiber goes undigested in your stomach, and that's why you feel fuller longer. It's not stopping the function of digestion. It is just making it to where it slows down a little bit, so that way you can stay fuller for longer. You know what I'm saying? You still have the same chemicals being released into your system and all that kind of stuff. Your body is still allowing it to reach that certain pH level before it goes into your small intestine. So there's nothing artificial about it. It is just keeping you fuller because you are becoming more nourished, not because you're starving, not because you have an artificial thing in there. Okay. It keeps you fuller for longer because you're actually satiated. Fiber is also going to lead to improved blood sugar control and enhanced weight loss. Why? Because you are nourished. Long-term weight loss comes from getting healthy on the inside, and then it will reflect on the outside. But you have to be nourished in order to do that. A lot of times people that are overweight, people forget that you can be overweight and malnourished. Most people that are overweight are extremely malnourished. And you'd be like, well, Medina, what are you talking about? Like, I'm 250 pounds, I'm 350 pounds. How I'm eating? Yeah, but what are you eating? It's what you are eating that is causing you to be malnourished. McDonald's is not nourishing you. That's the issue. Number three, eat protein with every meal. Eat protein with every meal. If you want to lose weight, like I said, same thing with fiber. These kind of piggyback off of each other because, again, protein is the macronutrient that, besides fiber, that takes the longest to digest. And I always tell people, I kind of relate it to building a fire. If you start a fire with twigs and paper and dry leaves and stuff like that, that's going to get the party started, which is important. That's going to get the fire started, but it's not going to last very long. It's going to burn out pretty quickly because you have things that just, it's going to burn through really quickly. Those are your carbs. Having that energy and getting it started is very important, but it's not going to sustain you by itself. So then when you add, let's say you start a fire with a log, it's going to take some time to burn through that log. You know what I'm saying? The log represents protein. So as we relate this back to digestion, there's nothing wrong with carbs. Y'all know I preach all the time. You need carbs. You need carbs. Why? Because it is your body's preferred source of energy. Your body needs energy in order to break down the log. The energy is the fire. You have to have the fire in order to break down the log. The log is protein, right? So this is why you want to aim to include sources of protein like, your tofu and your tempeh and your edamame and your beans and your different things like that. The plant-rich proteins. Why? Because the plant-rich proteins are going to give you protein, but they're also going to give you fiber. I told you, fiber is king, and I will preach until the cows come home that plant-based fiber is superior. You have to eat plant-based fiber or plant-based protein because it contains fiber. You're still going to be satiated, but you're not going to burn through all that energy in a millisecond. Carbs are your body's preferred source of fuel, but then you add the protein, so your hemp seeds and stuff like that, in order to keep you satiated longer. Make sense? Number four, stay hydrated. Stay hydrated. If you want to lose weight, you got to stay hydrated. Normally, you know what's crazy? This is what I'm going to say. I think the statistic right now is 85% of the American population is extremely dehydrated. It could be more. It could be more. But what's crazy about that is water is the most nutrient deficiency that we have. It is the number one nutrient deficiency that we have. And I think what we're not understanding, we're not looking at water as, is a nutrient. Like when we think about nutrients, we're thinking about vitamins and minerals, and we're thinking about, you know, the macronutrients like your carbs and your protein and your fat. Water is a nutrient that your body needs in order to function optimally. So drinking an adequate amount of water throughout your day, typically half your body weight in ounces up to a gallon. If you're drinking a gallon a day, you're good. But drinking an adequate amount of water throughout the day, that's going to help support your weight loss by promoting what? Satiety. It's going to keep you satiated. It's also going to enhance your metabolism. It's going to reduce your calorie intake. All of those things happen with just being properly hydrated. A lot of times we think we're hungry when we're actually thirsty. And that's the problem. But I can guarantee if you focus on drinking half your body weight in ounces every day, you're going to snack less. You're going to be less hungry. You're going to not eat as much at your meal times. A lot of things are going to shift for you. You're going to go about a lot of things differently. You're going to have less brain fog, all those kinds of things, because your body is over 50% water. And yet we are not prioritizing our hydration. You are not going to lose weight if you are not properly hydrated. You're not going to balance your blood sugar if you're not properly hydrated. These two things go hand in hand. You need water in order to help flush your body of toxins, in order to help, like I said, enhance your metabolism, reduce your calories, all of those kinds of things. You need to drink water. Half your body weight in ounces, and you may need to work up to that. Now, I am queen of baby steps. You guys know this. So right now, I always tell people to take your baby steps. What is your baby step right now? Maybe you can't drink a gallon of water every single day. Maybe you can't even do half your body weight in ounces right now, based on, depending on how much you weigh. It's just not realistic for you right now if you're not used to drinking water, or if you're a person that hates water. There's things that you can do to enhance the flavor of your water. You know what I mean? Drinking herbal teas or doing electrolytes. There's possibilities there. You know what I'm saying? But if you're not drinking even one bottle of water, and I just use bottles because they're easier for people to picture. The average water bottle is 16.9 ounces, right? So if you are not currently drinking one bottle of water a day, that is where you need to start. Don't say starting tomorrow, I'm getting ready to drink a gallon of water a day, and you have not been able to consistently drink one. This is why we need to collect data on ourselves. We don't know ourselves well enough to know what our habits are. And then we get frustrated because we're talking about some, I can never stick to this. Da, da, da. You don't know what you're doing already. You're not paying attention to your habits right now. You need to sit down and write down, start paying attention to what you're doing or not doing. So again, if you're starting with one bottle of water, you need to commit to that for a week. Then the next week, you go up to two bottles of water. Then the next week, you go up to three bottles of water. It's not sexy. It doesn't sound fun. It doesn't sound like you're doing enough. But in order to make lasting change, you have to honor the baby steps at the end of the day. You can't work up to, or you can't drink a gallon of water in a day if you don't work up to it. Or you might be able to, but then you're going to do it for maybe a day or two, maybe three, and then you're going to get right off track because you're looking for an overnight thing, and that's not sustainable. So you need to identify how much water are you drinking in a day right now? One bottle, two bottle, three bottle. And based on what you're currently drinking, create a baby step and say, okay, I'm drinking three bottles of water a day. For the next week, I'm going to aim for four, because you got to work that muscle. You got to create that habit. Okay. All right. Step number five. I feel like every step y'all gonna be mad, but this one right here really gonna grind your gears, okay? Number five is to stop trying to survive off of 1,200 calories a day. Stop trying to survive off of 1,200 calories a day. All right? My 7-year-old eats more than 1,200 calories a day. All right? Severely restricting your calorie intake is going to backfire and hinder your weight loss efforts indefinitely. Indefinitely. You know why? Because you are a grown man. You are a grown woman. You are a grown adult person, and you need more than 1,200, 1,400, 1,500 calories in a day. That just is what it is. And again, we are talking about the long run. We are looking beyond the right now, beyond the present. Okay. Now, granted, if you try to restrict your calories to 1,200 calories in a day, which is oftentimes happening when you're taking Ozempic, are you going to lose weight? Of course. But we just said, what is the issue? You're going to lose it in the beginning. You're going to lose it in the beginning. But as soon as you go to eat more calories, you are going to gain that weight back because you did not lose it in a healthy way. You can lose weight in a healthy weight without tracking calories and doing all that kind of stuff and restricting yourself. Instead, you want to focus on consuming nutrient-dense foods that provide your essential vitamins and minerals and antioxidants in order to do what? Nourish yourself and support your overall health and well-being. That's what it's all about. If you're not focused on nourishment, it is not going to last. It's not going to last at the end of the day, which is why I'd be flabbergasted when people are afraid to eat fruit. It's nutrient dense. When you prioritize whole unprocessed foods and you listen, this is a key, and you listen to your body's hunger and fullness cues to guide your eating patterns, that is what makes all the difference. Your body is speaking to you all the time, day in and day out, from the time you open your eyes in the morning to the time you go to sleep. Your body is always communicating with you. It doesn't speak English. It doesn't speak words like how I'm speaking to you right now, but it does speak to you. You know how? Through your hunger cues, through your satiation cues, when you get a headache, when you get heartburn, when you're gassy, when you're sleepy. That is how your body is trying to get your attention. But we are so used to functioning in autopilot or being distracted by social media and comparing our lives to other people and our journeys to other people that we don't recognize the voice of our own bodies. And that is the problem. That is the problem. You have to listen to your body's hunger and fullness cues in order to guide your eating patterns, which means, am I hungry? Yes, I'm going to go eat. I'm sitting down to eat a plate of food, whatever it is that I'm eating. Am I full? Yeah, but there's still food on my plate. But are you full? That's the thing. I told you guys in another episode that it takes your brain 15 to 20 minutes to recognize fullness in your stomach. So that's why taking your time when you eat is very important. I'm giving you a hack now, right? Take your time. So when we talk about the great plate method in DDA, T is for take your time. The reason why I stress taking your time when you're eating is because, again, you got to give your body time to recognize when you are full. But if you're sitting there just scouring down food because you're just so hungry, or you think you are, and a lot of that has to do with, you know, lack of sleep and lack of hydration. You see how all these kind of tie together? If you are scarfing down food, yes, you're going to take in more calories. Right? Yes, you're going to gain weight, especially depending on what you're eating. If you go get, you know, a cheeseburger meal from McDonald's, that's already like 2,000 calories in one sitting. You know what I'm saying? So when I say stop trying to survive off of 1,200 calories a day, I'm not saying eat all the everything under the moon and all that kind of stuff and be careless. I'm saying prioritize real, whole, unprocessed foods, meaning cook your meals at home 80% of the time. Be mindful of the ingredients that you're using. Contain, you know, make sure that you prioritize fiber in all of your meals and plant-based proteins in all of your meals. That is what is going to keep you satiated. Yes, you're going to be consuming more nutrient-dense foods, but you're also not going to have to count calories and starve yourself and do all that kind of stuff, right? And pay attention to when your body speaks to you. That is what is the most important when it comes to your, you know, number of calories a day and all that kind of stuff. If you're listening to your body, if you're tuning in, your body will tell you when it has had enough. The reason why we overeat is because of childhood conditioning. We are always told, eat all the food on your plate or you're not going to get dessert. Well, we want the dessert. So we're going to make sure that we feed ourselves beyond our body's fullness because we want that dessert. And then we eat the dessert after knowing that we ain't hungry anymore because we finished all the food on our plate, but sugar, false dopamine release. That's why we do that. So if your goal is weight loss, especially without having to rely on Ozempic, tune into your body. Sit down when you're eating. Don't rush yourself. Make foods that you actually enjoy. Just make sure you include some fiber and protein in that meal. Number six. Actually, I have seven tips for you guys, not six. Number six is engage in appropriate amounts of exercise. Movement is not optional. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you. Movement is not optional. It is not optional. If you want to lose weight, you have to move your body in some way, shape, or form. You gotta move. Sitting on your butt all day is not gonna help you lose weight. It's not going to, especially when you have a weight loss goal of like, I don't just wanna lose weight. I wanna tone. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody wants to tone. Everybody wants to, like, it's one thing to lose weight. You know what I'm saying? And that's another thing to, like, lose that healthy weight and tone at the same time, because we wanna feel sexy. I wanna feel sexy. I don't know about you. I wanna feel sexy. You know what I'm saying? But if you're only focusing on, you know, the eating part of it, which is 80% of the battle, don't get me wrong. That's 80% of the battle. But that 20%, again, y'all need to listen to the 80-20%, mastering 80-20% episode that I did. But that 20%, that movement should obviously give you some hope because, again, it's only 20%, meaning you ain't got to do crazy amounts of exercise in order to, you know, see the results that you want to see. 30 minutes a day is more than enough. 30 minutes a day, but you have to, that's the appropriate amount of movement that you need to get in. And that can be anything. Like, stop making this process so hard. Don't make it so hard. If you don't like lifting weights, don't go lift weights. Maybe you go on a bike ride. Maybe you take a dance class. Maybe you, you know, do some Zumba or something. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you just go on a walk around the block, you know, that take a boxing class. There's different things that you can do. You got to figure out what's fun for you though. How can you incorporate fun into your movement? You know, do you need a workout buddy? Maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe you and your girls get together and take a pole dancing class. I say pole dancing all the time. So engage in an appropriate amount of exercise. Anything that is going to keep you moving. Maybe that's just you running around with your grandkids. That's exercise too. Don't overcomplicate this part. I think that's what the issue is when it comes to exercise and losing weight. Nobody wants to do it because we're forcing ourselves to do things that we really don't want to do. If it's not fun for you, you're not going to keep doing it. You might do it in the beginning, but it's not going to be lasting. And I'm not saying that there's certain exercises that, you know, you may have to work up your love for it. Like if you hate right now, if you hate cardio, maybe that's not something that you do. Maybe that doesn't work for you in the way that you're thinking about it, but maybe start with walking, right? That's still cardio and it's still going to help your heart health. It's still going to help you lose weight. The simplest exercise in the world is walking. And that's going to give you the best results when it comes to weight loss in general. But if you find, you know, you say, I really want to be one of those people that enjoys, you know, working out and lifting weights and, you know, doing resistance training and stuff like that, you have to figure out a way that you can make that enjoyable for you. Maybe you don't like lifting weights right now because you're using too heavy of a weight. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you can't lift 15-pound weights. Maybe you start with 5, but don't beat yourself up and guilt yourself about not being able to lift 15 pounds. You're just not there yet. You haven't worked your way up to that. It's like what we were talking about with your water intake. So you have to honor where you are at in your exercise journey right now and stop comparing your day one to somebody else's day 100 or week 1000. You are just not there yet. And if you want exercise to be enjoyable for you, if one of your goals is like, I want to be one of those people that actually, like, when I'm stressed out, I go work out. When I'm, you know, feeling this, I go work out, where it's just kind of a natural part of your lifestyle. You got to find what works for you. There are different ways to get the same results as weight training without doing weight training. Maybe you take Pilates instead, which is really fun, by the way. Maybe you do Pilates instead. Maybe you get some of the little, some of the resistance bands and, you know, do some things with that. Maybe that works a little bit better for you. It doesn't have to look a certain way. You have to make this journey work for you, which leads me to step number 7, the final step. create a realistic plan. If you want to lose weight without having to rely on medication to do it for you, you have to take all six of those steps and use it to create a realistic, that is the key word, plan for you. By implementing these tips and adopting a more holistic approach to health and wellness. What is holistic? Holistic means that you are taking a whole 360 view of your life and your habits and the things that you do day in and day out and the way that you eat and your sleep patterns. And you're taking a holistic view, a whole view of all the different components of your lifestyle. And you are being radically honest about how certain habits that you have are serving you. When you do it that way, you're going to be able to say, all right, this habit that I have is serving me in this way and I don't really like it. I want to improve upon that. And this is my plan in order to be able to do that. Or this habit over here, it works really well for me. I like how it makes me feel. This is great. I'm going to keep that habit. Sometimes we think that we need to change everything. And really, you may not need to change everything. There might just be a few key components that you need to change. Maybe you're great at drinking water right now, but you are not really good at prioritizing fiber in your meals. Maybe it's really easy for you to exercise, but your diet is trash. Maybe you're prioritizing protein, but you're just kind of like, oh, I'm lacking this other thing. So you don't necessarily need to change everything. But if you're not taking a bird's eye view, so to speak, of your lifestyle factors right now, your life, not even factors, your lifestyle habits, you're not going to know what needs to change. And I think that is a lot of time what overwhelms people is because we figure, oh, I'm so overweight or I'm so lazy or I don't do this. I don't. We're always looking at the things that we are not doing instead of giving ourselves credit for the things that we are doing. And so when we have something like a goal that says, I want to lose weight, and we look at our life and we like, well, dang, I got to change this. 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 That is what becomes overwhelming. But I need you to also pay attention to what things that you are doing that are actually benefiting you. You're doing good things too. Everything isn't trash. You're doing good things too. And you got to give yourself credit for that. But you need to create a realistic plan for the things that maybe you're not doing so well. How can you achieve sustainable weight loss and just tweak it a little bit in order to improve your overall well-being without the need for medication like Ozempic? When I'm telling you guys, you can do this. You can do this without having to be addicted to medication. But what you have to do is simplify that process. And that's why I have things like the 5-day blood sugar reboot, which is helping you to lower your blood sugar in 50 to 100 plus points in as little as 5 days. Let me tell you something. Can you imagine being, you know, your average glucose level is 200? And then in 5 days, it goes down into the low 100s. That's a huge deal in 5 days. And you know how I get people there? By simplifying the process and giving you a realistic plan that does not include medication because it's not necessary. Use food and lifestyle changes as medicine. You can find out about the 5-day blood sugar reboot in the description bar or in the show notes as well. It's all there for you. So it doesn't have to take long for you to start seeing results. So you know how with Ozempic, I said you can start seeing results, the weight loss results within 2 weeks. Well, guess what? If you implement a realistic and a simplified plan of action, you can also naturally start losing weight in 2 weeks as well, if not before. Most people that go through the 5-day blood sugar reboot, they lose 3 pounds in the first week. But you have to do it. It is going to take you holding yourself accountable. And that's the part that most people don't want to do. We want it to be as quick and fun and simple and minimal effort as possible. And so then we go and we start relying on pharmaceutical drugs because it doesn't require change. It doesn't require change. But I can tell you right now, that is not going to last in the long run. It is not going to last in the long run. Your numbers might be really good. You may even reverse diabetes and lower your A1C. That's beautiful. But as soon as you stop taking it, you're going to be right back at square one. If you do not learn, number one, how to reverse insulin resistance, which is the root cause of diabetes. And number two, if you do not change your lifestyle, that means cultivating a healthy relationship with food. That means moving your body. That means staying hydrated and all the things that I just broke down in today's episode. So without further ado, I'm going to let you guys go now. That's all I have for you guys today. I hope you enjoyed it and I'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Diabetes Unplugged. If you enjoyed this conversation, follow me over on Instagram to join the ongoing discussion sparked by this week's episode. You can find all my social media handles in the show notes, and you can also show love by simply giving me a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And for more insightful blogs, support, and other digital downloads, head over to queeningsnutrition.com. Until next time, take care and keep striving for your health goals. See you next week.